Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite. Here you go.
That's the nothing personal word of the day. It is Patriots Day, Monday, April 15th, 2024. And I am coming to you live on the Nothing Personal with David Sampson YouTube channel in the Central Time Zone in Nashville, Tennessee. We're tonight at 7:30 p.m. live show. Met a lot of people, Coca. A lot of people on Broadway last night talking to them about the show, wondering, hey, what are you doing tomorrow night? Are you going to still be here? The overwhelming majority of people, Sunday night may as well be Saturday night in Nashville, or Friday night, or any night. Amazing live music. Amazing that one of our great fans, Steven, hooked us up with a dinner at his place. And all I could think of is, I'm not running the Boston Marathon tomorrow, which is now today. Patriots Day is a pretty cool day. If you've never been to Massachusetts, I would strongly suggest that you get to go to a Red Sox game where there is special union acceptance. I don't know if you know this, or we've talked about it. In the collective bargaining agreement in baseball, there is an exception that a game can be played prior to 11:30 a.m. only if it's in Boston on Patriots Day. And the Red Sox host every year. The players hate it. They say they love it. They hate it because for an 11 a.m. start, you have to get to the ballpark at 8. You have to wake up at 7. It's the exact opposite of what they like doing. The other factor with Patriots Day is no road team likes to play there on Patriots Day because of the time. This year, the Guardians drew the short straw. But the real focus is on the marathon, the men's, the women, the great race directed by Dave McGilvery. Thank you to Dave. If you watch our Boston episode, we had some technical issues with the video. The audio is perfect. The video is gone for like 22 minutes. It went the way of the Ryan Braun urine and blood sample. Not sure the chain of custody. Not exactly sure what could have happened to it. But here's my story. It got corrupted. Therefore, we couldn't use it. So lots of content for you all this weekend and more tonight. Let's get into the NBA season, if you don't mind. I love that the NBA tried to do what baseball did. They were all excited. This is the last day and it counts. There's so much to go over. Will it be the Heat, Sixers, Suns, Bucks, Knicks? Who's going to get the number one seed? I think the only thing we knew is that the Clippers were hosting the Mavericks and that the Bulls were hosting the Hawks in one of the playing games in the Eastern Conference. I'm pretty sure that's all that was locked in. So there were all these games, and the NBA tried to copy us, but they didn't get it right. Baseball, on its last day, plays every game at the exact same time, whether it's on the West Coast, East Coast, middle of the country, doesn't matter, same time, no advantage to anyone. Here, what basketball did is you had 1 o'clock games, you had 3:30 games. Now, to be fair, the issues in the Eastern Conference were 1 o'clock. The issues in the Western Conference were 3:30. So you could argue that, hey, you sort of know what's happening with everyone around you, so you still have to sort of play hard, unless you're in Cleveland, in which case you purposely tank to play Orlando in the first round. knowing that you then have Boston in the second round when you could have avoided Boston. Coke and I had an argument. You know what? Let's put it out there to the chat. Do you think Cleveland purposefully did not win yesterday because they were more concerned with winning one round in the playoffs, Orlando, and not caring if they lose in the second round and calling that progress versus trying to get out of that bracket and not meeting Boston till the conference finals, which is a whole different ball of wax? Tell you where my head is. I don't know where the head is of Doc Rivers. Every time he takes the podium, he looks worse to me. He's in green, so I get confused that he's still with Boston, but he's not. He coached 35 games for the Milwaukee Bucks, taking over for Adrian Griffiths. Griffith or Griffiths, Coca. I don't know if you're in my ear at this early hour in Nashville, but if you are, I cannot remember if there's an S at the end. He was 33 and 13. By the way, it's neither. It's Griffin. Thank you so much. Let's do it again. No one will notice. Even live on the DraftKings Network, no one will notice. 4-8-69. Looking at Doc Rivers in green, wondering, does he coach the Celtics or the Bucks? And then remembering that he took over for Adrian Griffin when the team was doing fantastically. And then they sputtered in a 35-game stretch. 17 and 18. Giannis's calves are hurt. They're about to play the Pacers in the first round. The whole Lillard Giannis, where it's possible that later on you're going to see a wait to see that I had Milwaukee potentially making it out of the East. Just saying. People may be excited to watch the Pacers play the Bucks. I'm really not all that excited about it. It was good. Remember when Giannis, he wanted that special ball and the Pacers wouldn't take it. And then there was a fight and it went off the court and it spilled toward the locker rooms. Big rivalry. I think Adam Silver's super excited to have the Pacers play a crappy Bucks team right now. No, much more focused on figuring out a way to get the Lakers and the Suns out of the play-in tournament. Into the playoffs. What about the whole load management? That was going to be a big deal this year. Well, we're already done with the season. Any players have a problem getting to 65 games? We told you some would. We figured they would. We said there's no way LeBron is going to even qualify. And then LeBron played 71 games. Back on October 24th, I did a wait to see that he's going to go under. He went over. I told you Kawhi would go under 65, 68. These players are all qualifying for the awards, all NBA, MVP. At least I said Doncic and Jokic would go over 65. Do you know that Jokic played 79 games? And have you ever watched the Denver Nuggets play? Maybe they won the title last year. He comes out all bloody and battered at the end of every game. You look as though he's going to break his ankle every time he makes the moves. He looks so beautiful, but so lumbering. And then you just realize he's got the softest hands and just the ability to be so sinewy in the lane. Or he can just step back and break your heart with a three. 79 games. 79. It's not the most in the league. You can play 82. But to have a superstar playing 79, I'm tipping my chapeau to you. He really does want to repeat, even though he acts like it doesn't really matter. And then when he has to play through June, he complains because he wants to go home. I still think his view is, if we're here anyway, we might as well win. So the Nuggets are in a position to repeat as the number two seed. They got overtaken by OKC. The Thunder with SGA are the number one seed in the West. That means they get game seven at home if they play the Nuggets in the conference finals. And guess what? Jokic doesn't care. I do not see OKC making it out of the West as great a season as they've had, which they have. To me, until someone beats Denver 4-7, this is going to be one of the great things that people with the microphone say. Hi, my name is David Sampson. I'm an NBA expert, and I will tell you the following about these playoffs. Until someone beats the Denver Nuggets 4 times out of 7, you got to consider them champions. Do you get that? Does anyone get that? Yes, they're the reigning champions. And if no one beats them 4-7, guess what? They're going to win again. People will say that. Hey, you got to beat them 4-7 times. Who's going to beat the Celtics 4-7 times? Could it be the winner of the loser's bracket of the play-in tournament? Here's what Boston's preparing for. The Bulls and Hawks are going to play, and there's going to be a winner, but they don't make the playoffs quite yet. They still have to play the loser of the 7-8 game, which is Sixers Heat. So Sixers play the Heat, and the winner gets to go to the Garden and play the Knicks. Believe me, they'd like to win that game. The Heat and Sixers are playing to win the play-in game Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. You may want to watch it, because if you win, you get to play the Knicks. If you lose, you got to play again at home. Either the Heat or Sixers, if the loser of Heat Sixers plays a home game in Miami or Philly against the winner of the Bulls-Hawks game. So you got to win that game. Then you schlep up to the Garden and have to play Boston in the first round. So I'm just saying that the only scenario that the Bulls and Hawks are in the playoffs is they win two games in a row, and then they play Boston. The Heat Sixers have two games to win one because they're the 7-8 seed. But if you can win your first game, you get to avoid the Celtics. What is the opening line in that Heat Sixer game in Philadelphia? Question, will Embiid be back? The theory is yes. He rested yesterday. Load management, whatever they called it. The Heat obviously went to the finals last year. They're nothing like the team they were. Jimmy Butler, maybe playoff Jimmy comes through, but they're just not nearly as good. For me, it's got to be the Sixers should be favored in that game by 7 to 8 points is where I expect the line will be. And the line has just come out as Sixers -4.5. That's why I've got a podcast, and I used to run a baseball team. Todd Furman, I'm not. Sixers -4.5. That seems a little low, Coca, doesn't it? Isn't the game in Philly? Sixers 4.5, is there some concern that someone's not going to play? Or is it a concern that last year's Heat team is going to show up? Well, spoiler alert, we'll see what happens over the next 24 hours. But when we do our picks on Wednesday, so that would be the next 48 hours, Wednesday's show will be done from, I don't know where. I think from New York, before we're on our way to Pittsburgh. What a week we have, Coca. We've got a live Nashville show tonight, a live Pittsburgh show on Thursday. Go to davidsampsonpodcast.com, check it out. And then we go to run the London Marathon. I have to stop saying that. I actually don't even want that in the show, Matt. 4-8-6-9. Then we go to London to walk the marathon next week. You know what else Adam Silver's doing right now, celebrating the year? He's trying to figure out how to get Wemby into the playoffs. Wemby, just, he's, if you haven't watched him, what are you doing? I have a wait to see that he won't win Rookie of the Year. I likely didn't get that right, but I really was thinking about Holmgren, who had a great year, but Wemby far surpassed people's expectations for a teen. Comes into the league, I don't know how old he is, but he feels like a teenager to me. Comes into the league and just dominates. It just shows you, it reminded me, I don't know if you thought about this, Matt, maybe you're too young. Do you remember the Doug Collins Bulls? Does that mean anything to anyone? The Doug Collins Bulls, when Jordan was there, hey, it's fun to look at that guy from UNC and think, ooh, he may be good. And then you watch him get absolutely destroyed. Bless me, for I have sinned on Broadway in Nashville. Wemby's 20 now. He played a lot of the season. He played the beginning of the season as a teenager. Adam Silver needs to get him playing in October. It's very important. And then again in April and May and June. So Adam Silver's thinking about that, but now the Spurs are done. They're going back into the lottery. He's now focused on the reality that he could be in a position where if the Lakers lose to the Pelicans, and that game is coming up tomorrow night, that either LeBron or Curry will not be in the playoffs. So they need the Lakers to beat the Pelicans because Zion is just not good enough to outdraw LeBron or Curry. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be big, big. 82 is the nothing personal word of the day. The baseball this weekend was interesting. Let me see what happened. The sun came up. The sun will come up tomorrow. And there'll be another pitcher with Tommy John. And his name is Strider. Remember my wait to see from April 8th only a week ago? Hey, Strider's going to be fine. Nope, he's going to be out for the year. Well, Spencer Strider had Tommy John. He's out for the year. But the Dodgers are in good shape. Dodgers hitting well. Ohtani moving forward past the gambling scandal. Totally honest with us that everything's fine. Baseball is going to quickly conclude. There's nothing to worry about pre-2021, pre-2018. It's all good. And I hope and believe it is. He's been dynamite at the plate. The Dodgers, as we told you, they're not going to win 150 games. They actually lost last night to the Padres. We've got some concerns about their pitching. And now Bobby Miller was just put on the IL with the dreaded shoulder inflammation. Now, you may say, David, you told me that shoulders are way worse than elbows. And then, David, you said the next day that everyone is breaking their elbow. What happened to the shoulder soreness? And it is true. A lot of people are hurting their elbows. But shoulder inflammation, trust me, it's terrible. Because you don't necessarily know to immediately go for the Tommy John and start the clock for getting better. You do a little injection, maybe a little PRP, do a little rest, then you try again, and you just, I would go up to a player who had a shoulder irritation or shoulder inflammation, and I would just walk by, and I'd go like this, hey, give me one of these. If you're not watching, I'm doing like a David Samson I Can't Dance move, where I'm doing that shoulder that you can really do it well. Hey, just for me, one of these, would you please? They're like, Samson, keep it moving. Still hurts. Dodgers, they've got pitching depth problems. It's good that we heard from Clayton Kershaw. I forgot he was a Dodger. He chimed in and said, hey, I have no idea why players are getting injured as he's recovering from injury. That was good. I think it's because Coca, I think it's because the balls are all wrong. I think that's the reason. It has to be. Players are always very good at telling us. Remember that guy Fairbanks with Tampa? The Mensa member who said, oh, the humidor in Colorado is all screwed up. That was good. That made me laugh. That got a lot of attention. You can tell the credibility of the critic by the amount of tension. It's directly correlated by the amount of attention the league or the actual team gives what the player says. When the team doesn't really respond, react, neither does the league, you can bet your bippy that the source of the information not exactly getting a 36 on the ACT. Just throwing that out there. Kenley Jansen's complaining about the balls, said they're not rubbed correctly. Balls have to be rubbed every day. We hire people just to rub balls. That's what they do. We get dirt, you rub them, you make them feel used, which is always funny. It's called a pearl when it comes to us from baseball. It's a brand new pearl. It's shiny and new. It's like a virgin thrown for the very first time. And then all of a sudden, there's like this mud stuff that's made. And then when you give it back for it to be a game ball, it looks horrific and it's never been used. You ever noticed when a ball hits the dirt? This is something that I have fought against for 15 years. Hear me out. Listen to me later. The balls, when they're used to start a game, when they're put into play by the umpire, they're dirty. They've been rubbed dirt. When a ball hits the dirt, it used to be that the umpire would look at it and then throw it back to the pitcher. Now, the umpires take the ball out of play. If a ball hits the dirt in any way, either the catcher just throws it away without asking or shows it to the umpire and the umpire throws it away. And the reason is that when a ball hits the dirt, it has a few marks on it. Take a look and see if you ever get a foul ball that's batted. It's got very serious marks where you can see where a bat hit the ball. Sometimes you can hit the cover off the ball. That expression is true. Sometimes you can see which part of the ball got hit. And if you look at the bat and the ball, it's fascinating. hey, he got all that. And it turns out he hit it, you know, below the label or right off the tip or right off the handle. You can tell from looking at the ball. I'm in to get rid of those balls. But a pearl, a rubbed up pearl that is just hits the ground like on a slider in the dirt. The mark on that ball, I would rather use that ball again. Because here's the thing. The pitchers would prefer to have no scuffs on the ball so they can control perfectly where the spin is going to be. Because if a ball is too scuffed, it can change the spin of the ball, which could cause it to go somewhere else. Which as a hitter is bad because in order to hit a ball, you have to recognize the pitch and then recognize where the spin is going to take the pitch. What Kenley Jansen is saying is the opposite. He's saying the balls aren't rubbed correctly, and therefore he doesn't know where the ball's going. He said it's embarrassing. He's the Red Sox closer. It's been a while since I've been playing in this league, and from the beginning of my career until now, it's getting worse. It's been an issue the whole year. I mean, of course, we're 2 weeks in. I've been talking to a lot of my teammates, and they feel the same way. First pitch, get out of my hand. I don't know where it's going. Second pitch, the same thing. Then I try to throw a ball down the middle. It just keeps going down. He's referring to the fact that if the balls are not rubbed correctly, that he feels he cannot control the location. And one of the things that we talk about with the union is how dangerous it is for a pitcher throwing 95, 98, not having control of the ball. It's why we want universal humidors. It's why we want universal ball rubbing. We want pitchers, wherever they hold the ball, to be able to control it because player injury, player life can be at stake. Because when you're throwing at someone, it's very different than when you don't know where the ball's going. And if you don't know where the ball's going, you have two possible scenarios. One, the pitcher just sticks, and that's the most likely scenario. The other scenario is that there's something wrong with the ball that's causing it to do what the pitcher doesn't expect it to do and what the hitter doesn't expect it to do, and then you get an HBP. I happened to be in Nashville with Mike Hill, who is in charge of on-field operations for Major League Baseball. He came to Nashville to come see the show tonight, the Nothing Personal Live show. And we were talking about this. And it's very difficult when you are dealing with players in certain regards. Now, he loves dealing with players. It's what he does every day. He deals with umpires and players. But even as president of baseball operations, when he was dealing with players, dealing with player complaints, you have to understand that the majority of player complaints come out of the player's results. It's very rare that someone throws a two-hit shutout and then will call the league and say, by the way, the pearls are bad, or the umpiring was bad, or the field was bad. But when you're in and you pitch one inning, four hits, three runs, you just wait for the call. Hey, the ball, my arm, something. It's a very cynical way to go through your career. But it's the exact way I thought. When a pitcher gets lit up, there's going to be a reason. Professional athletes tend to have excuses where sometimes it just happens. I mean, for example, what do you think Blake Snell is going to say? He's going to have to give you something. His great debut for the Giants. Remember when he only went a couple innings? And then he had his second game. He gave you four innings. Way to go. Seven earned. Two home runs against Tampa. Blake Snell couldn't even do the five and dive. He went the four and not thrive. I'm not rooting against Blake Snell. He had to take a pill a day. I'd like him to leave Boris. That would be interesting. But what if Snell realizes that really what Boris thought he could get for him, Snell knew in the back of his mind, NCTP. That's what I think happened. For Giants fans, don't panic quite yet. I mean, nah, not yet. Soon. But just not yet. Congratulations to Jackson Holliday. Finally got his first hit yesterday. People were getting scared. I wanted to just talk about this, Coca, if you don't mind. I've been asked this maybe at a live show and maybe on one of the radio shows I did. I don't remember which. And it was a pretty simple question. This is not so you want to talk to Samson. This is just something that happened. Hey, how does the front office look at slumps? Jackson Holliday was not in a slump. He started his career 1-for-15 with 9 Ks. Not fantastic. He had been hitless until yesterday. As a matter of fact, we lost a pick of the day because he didn't get a hit when I thought he would this weekend, but he did finally get one on Sunday, ground ball through the hole to right field. Teammates happy. He's happy. Everyone's writing about, is he pressing? Is he not pressing? Is this bad luck? It's being analyzed like crazy. And it made me want to explain to you how the front office looks at slumps in case you didn't know. We don't look at 0-for-15 or 0-for-30 or 3-for-40. What we're looking for is how the player is dealing with the 0-for-15, 0-for-40, or 3-for-40. When a young player comes up and starts off badly, we are going to learn a lot about that player. I don't root for it, but man, I want to get adversity out of the way as quickly as possible. Think about it. I tried to run a team the exact opposite way that I tried to run a family. Family, no adversity. Oh God, adversity comes. Oh God, what do we do? No. I want to give players adversity right now. I want to see how they deal with it, to see whether they've got a big league brain to go with their big league talent. A big league brain matters. Are you throwing helmets around? Are you being rude to the clubbies? Are you not showing up to do your work? Are you not doing your work at all? Are you playing the field worse than you were playing the field when you were hitting 350 for AAA? We are looking at body language. We are looking at anything other than the fact that there's been no production. And so the follow-up question is always, yeah, but David, at what point do you say it's hurting the team? At what point do you not play someone who's slumping? And that's when we go to both track record and we go to cover our ass purpose. When we know that Jackson Holliday is our number one prospect, we know he's the number one prospect in baseball. We know that it is headlines that he's been called up. An 0-for-15, an 0-for-20, an 0-for-30. We're going to give him a blow on a Sunday, but we are playing him 6 days a week. We're putting him in the lineup, hard stop, because there's no way that we're going to admit that our evaluation of this player was wrong because of a 30 at-bat stretch. Now, 0-for-80, we're going to sit him. That's extreme. Not going to happen. But an 0-for-15, an 0-for-20, an 0-for-30, what we would likely do, even for a hitter like Holliday, if he had not gotten a hit Sunday, we likely would have put him in a position to be able to call a little bunt. Little bunt single to get off the schneid, third base playing back, first baseman playing back. We'll take a look. We'll give him the sign, little nose, chin, ear, nose, chin, ear. If he doesn't remember the signs, we'll probably just yell bunt. We just want to get him. It's what you can't do when you're against a no-hitter and you don't want to break up a no-hitter with a bunt because then all your players are going to get thrown at. It's perfectly fine to bunt for your first career base hit because once you get a hit and you're the type of player that Holliday is, the view is that you're going to get a lot more. So you do give a runway to a prospect, depending on the prospect, to a free agent signee you give a longer runway to. The people who don't get the runway are the fringe players. Even the Marlins Garcia, he's had a very long runway. He's had a terrible, terrible contract with the Marlins, but they're going to keep throwing him out there and say, please, what are we going to do, release you? Yeah, they need to. Rendon is getting the longest leash ever. He'll hit eventually. Maybe, will he? We can't release him. We owe him so much money. Should we? Maybe. But those are the top-end free agents for those specific teams. If you sign a guy to a 2-year, $20 million deal, and he starts off in the 0-for-60 range or 1-for-60, you're just not going to play him. And you're going to get permission from your owner to not play him. So it really is different depending on the player. For Holliday, I expect him to keep playing for sure. All right, when we come back, I watched a brand new movie on Netflix that I want to talk about. And then the Masters results came in. And I think something's happening that is well worth discussing. And we will right after the break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Nothing Personal. It is David Sampson coming at you live from Nashville, Tennessee, where tonight we will have a live show at 7:30 p.m. Central Time at City Winery. Thank you to going on davidsampsonpodcast.com. We have merch, good merch. We got to do a holiday sale coming up, which we're going to. Look at this. It's concert number 4 will be in the books tonight, then Pittsburgh at the end of the week. And then if you're in or around New York, you may want to come to that New York show on April 29th. Go on our podcast, follow the link, and get tickets and enjoy. The live shows have been fun. I think we're going to do some sort of merch sale soon. I think we'll do maybe a summer sale. Is it almost summer? It's so beautiful in Nashville. Looking out, sunny day. What movie did I watch yesterday? Does anyone remember the Prince Andrew interview with the BBC when he came out? And for my money, I had read that it was the worst interview ever given, but I didn't really focus on it. I'm not a royal family guy. He obviously had sexual relations with women of various ages inappropriately. He liked hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein. And it's indisputable. Like, I didn't think there was anything more. And he's no longer doing royal duties. Whatever. He's done. Canceled. It was the British version of canceled. So this movie comes out called Scoop. And it's got Rufus Sewell in it playing Princess Andrew. And Gillian Anderson playing the person who interviews Princess Andrew. She worked for the BBC, or maybe still does. It reminded me of Frost Nixon in a way. Because it was this buildup to an interview that is available on YouTube. I keep calling him Princess, don't I? Excuse me. Prince, I do hear that. It's Prince Andrew, obviously. I don't know. It's Your Royal Highness is what I confused with Prince, and I went with Princess. Of course, it's Prince. Do we need to do the whole damn thing over again? Or no, we don't. Okay. I'm just going to pick it up from Frost Nixon. 689. Frost Nixon. Not sure where that fits in, actually. Scoop. It's on Netflix. So the movie builds up to this interview, and it shows how the scoop was gotten. A brilliant woman who ends up writing the book that the movie's based on, and she sort of works as a booker for BBC Newsnight, and she's not fully respected, but then she is respected because she gets this amazing get of Prince Andrew. And Prince Andrew comes, and he's played. Is it possible that this is what he's like? Rufus Sewell plays him as a moron. He plays him as a bumbling, I've got mommy issues. Which is bizarre, because if that's the case and anyone knew about it, you may want to check his flight records. Just throwing it out there. I found the movie to be interesting, except it caused me to do another 49 minutes on top of the running time. I watched the movie, then I watched the actual interview. And boy, did they do an amazing job of memorizing the lines from the interview. This is pretty recent history. This all happened in the last, I don't know, 4 years, 3 years, 5 years. Recent enough. Go right on YouTube. You get the 49-minute interview. So here's my suggestion. Skip Scoop, but watch the interview with BBC and Prince Andrew. And then give some flowers to Rufus Sewell and to Gillian Anderson. Great job. But watch the interview and then decide for yourself, wow, would I have allowed the prince to do that? What exactly are the PR people doing? And why do they have jobs? And why did they not workshop the answer, hey, I don't sweat? It's all very strange to me. I don't really think Scottie Scheffler was sweating too much yesterday, but he should have. He didn't have the lead, but then he did have the lead. He got the green jacket, second green jacket, and only his fifth Masters. He is on a pretty exclusive list. He's only won 2 majors, both Masters. number one player in the world, been that way for over a year. It's pretty amazing. I've been thinking while I was watching. I watched Tiger Woods stumble. We had to wait to see about Tiger Woods not making the cut. He did make the cut. We got that wrong. He then stumbled, but he made it through 72 holes. He showed those LIV guys that I can do 72. Why can't you? He shot his worst round ever. His worst round ever is better than most people's best round ever, obviously. He's Tiger Woods. He's any professional golfer. But I was looking at him, and it made me feel old, and I want to explain. Tiger Woods is the picture of health. Whatever his body has looked like or does look like, whatever accidents he's had, whatever story he's had, Tiger Woods commanded a golf course. When he was on it, it was must-see TV because you're watching greatness every possible stroke. Every time he hits the ball, you're thinking to yourself, we may see something that we've never seen before. But everybody gets older. And now the young people watching golf, and there are a lot of people watching, a lot of people watch the Masters. They look at Tiger Woods the same way I would have looked at Oscar Robertson. Man, he was good. I'm aware of it. Just Hall of Famer, triple-double machine, maybe one of the top three point guards of all time. And now I see him, you know, I bet he can still shoot maybe, dribble maybe, but he seems a little old. And therefore, you don't have the ability to fully comprehend the level of greatness. That's the danger and risk of an aging athlete. Totally normal, totally fine. Except everyone today would say, hey, give me Curry before you give me the big O. People sometimes say, give me Westbrook before you give me the big O. Are people saying, give me Scheffler before Tiger? From a skill standpoint, you have to. He's 27 years old. He's a kid. He's the fourth youngest guy ever to win two green jackets. That's two green jackets already. And you're talking about Tiger's about to be 50 years old in like a year and a half. 50. What are you doing at 50? Not being the best golfer in the world, I can promise you that. Did you know the Masters, that CBS does not pay broadcast fees to do the Masters, and they can only do 4 minutes of commercials? Have you noticed how different it all is? How different the broadcast is, and it gives it this gravitas, and how great the Masters is showing you how cheap their concessions are as a way to say, hey, we're in charge. We don't even have a concessionaire. It's just our people. It's quite a scam they have going there, wanting us to think that they're the nicest people in the world. These people who run Augusta. Sorry, Coke, I'm giving up my even possibility of playing Augusta, but just a few thoughts here. Appreciate the fact that you don't want to charge rights, trying to keep it pure. Except you guys trying to keep it pure really has quite a different meaning for me than what it does for you. And I have a hard time getting past that. I'd rather you became capitalists and inclusive capitalists. I think that would be a way better story than the purity of your tournament, which of course I watch. I had another wait to see as part of my pick of the day, wait to see. You know, wait to see is when we tell you something's going to happen, and you know that we always revisit our wait to sees, which makes this show a little different. We told you that Tiger would miss the cut. We got it wrong. We also told you someone from LIV was going to win the Masters. Nope, it was Scheffler. We got that one wrong too. And in a weekend of things getting wrong, we were so hot, we were coming back, and I went 0 for 4 on the nothing personal pick of the day. 0 for 4 this weekend. Jackson Holliday, we laid money to get a hit. His first hit of the day on Friday. Nope. We thought the Orioles would beat the Brewers. Nope. We thought the Mets would beat the Royals on Saturday. Nope. We thought Lindor for $35 million get a freaking hit. Can you please get above 200? or 150, Lindor did not get a hit either. That's four plays, four losses. We're now 42 and 56. All the progress we made at the end of last week, right down the circular crapper. All right, we're coming back. Here we go. The Texas Rangers play the Detroit Tigers, and guess who's pitching? Michael Lorenzen. What do you know about that name, Coca? When I say Michael Lorenzen, what do you think of? Do you think of no-hitter? Do you think of the Tigers? Do you think of the Rangers? Do you think of being left off the playoff roster? What do you think of? Are you thinking that you wish I'd move past this? All right, fine. I'll move past it. We're taking the Rangers over the Tigers. That's the nothing personal pick of the day. All right, you just wanted to play the music, didn't you? Go ahead, Coca.
You know what I want? I want to talk to Samson.
So I want to talk to Samson. Welcome. Just get into my Twitter at David P. Samson. Go on the show webpage, davidsamsonpodcast.com. We get so many emails, so many questions, we can't get to them all. I try to answer as many as I can, but it's hard, hard. Instagram, David P. Samson, just follow us. Please spread the word. It's working. Hi, David. You got right into my heart. If only you had made like a Nashville reference, like a musical reference, then I didn't care what the subject would have been about. Although this subject was pretty good. Can you explain to me how Bad Bunny became an agent and why he's not anymore? Thank you. All right, you got sort of the story right. But anytime Bad Bunny can be in the show, because we're a show of 56-year-old white guys. I mean, I am. I try to be cool. At what point is it not cool to be cool? Afraid I'm running up against that, but during the live shows, I feel like I can be cool. All right, let me give you the story here. To be an agent, to be Scott Boras in Major League Baseball, to be any agent that actually gets to represent a player and negotiate with the front office, you have to be certified first. You get certified by the players' union. It is an absolutely critical process, or else you are not the person who can do anything. So we get a list of certified agents, but it's the Players Association who certifies them. And they have the right to revoke certifications. They have the right to give certifications. They have the right to not give certifications. And they can do it as they please, with reckless indifference toward what a player wants, because a player may have an agent, comma, best friend who they've had their entire lives, and they want this person to represent them. And the union says, no way, not going to happen. Go find yourself a real certified agent, and maybe that agency, the Boras agency, will hire your friend. But we're going to let you know who's in, who's out. And once you're in, it's really hard to get kicked out. It's really hard to lose your certification because we as teams, here's a little nugget for you, Coca. We as teams would like to try to get some agents decertified who we think are really, really bad. And when I say bad, that doesn't mean they're good for the players. That is another misunderstanding that people have. Front office, management. I am okay going against worthy opponents. I want agents to be smart. I want them to be playing by the rules. I want them to be certified. And I want them to advocate for their client like it's their last client in the world. Full Jerry Maguire. No problem. What I don't want are bumbling idiots. That may sound condescending, but it's not. We've had plenty of agents who you just, when you're talking to them, they don't know shit about shit. They're giving you comps in an arbitration discussion. That is live. We're live. And here's the funny part. I'm not where that bell is. And that bell is somewhere else. And that went over my silenced phone, which means there could be an issue. But I'm ignoring it because I'm doing a show. But of course, I didn't ignore it. So now I'm talking about agents. Here's what I wanted to say. When an agent is not smart, and I'm sorry to have called him that, it's because they don't understand how arbitration works, or they don't understand how free agency works, or they don't understand who the comps are supposed to be, or they're advocating for something that they know they're not going to get. And it's not because that they're doing something like reaching for more years or more AAV. They're reaching into a group of players or a group of comps that they know very well or should know, and the player knows, and the league knows, and the union knows is not reasonable. That's what I call a complete waste of time. Therefore, I always want to deal with agents who are really, really smart about how they're negotiating with us, and they're going to win sometimes, no doubt about it. But there's certain things you cannot do. There's like rules that agents get. And it's not that you can't argue your player's worth $40 million when he's only worth $20 million. You want to do it, do it. You can't, it's not, there's no rule that says if you want to use Shohei Ohtani as a comp in arbitration, feel free, even though your player isn't close to Shohei Ohtani, and do whatever you want, but it's not going to work. No, no. That's not what the union, that doesn't rise to the level of decertifying an agent. But guess what does? When you are giving improper benefits to players, when you are trying to poach players from other certified agents and doing it in a way that's not the Boris way by getting players to carry your water, not the normal way where a player just comes up to you and says, hey, I don't like my agent. Are you available? Can we talk? When you are paying players to come to you from another agent, that's against the rules. And you're going to get decertified. The agent's name is William Arroyo. He is the main baseball agent for a company that Bad Bunny is leading. But Bad Bunny is not the agent. But Bad Bunny is leading this company. It's called Remus Sports. Arroyo's got a bunch of clients. But when the union takes away your certification, here's what it actually means. It means that Arroyo himself cannot be the certified agent representing the players who are part of Bad Bunny's firm. But there are other agents at that firm who can take over the account. So baseball did not decertify Bad Bunny. They revoked the certification of William Arroyo, which gave Bad Bunny a chance to give you the quote of the day. At Remus Sports, we uphold the highest standards of professionalism and integrity of our industry. Out of respect for an ongoing process within the context of the MLBPA agent regulations, we will refrain from making any comments at this time. We remain committed to continue serving our clients with excellence. That was their quote. Doesn't really address what happened with Arroyo, does it? They're going to make Arroyo out to be the rogue agent. I think that's what's going to happen. I think they're just going to fire him, and he's going to disappear, even though he was the one representing the majority of these clients. But they're just going to disappear him. He's going to go like the way of the interpreter. It's going to be sort of funny how they do that. They'll tourniquet that limb, see you later, and they're going to be right back representing players. But it's only Arroyo that did it, and no one knew. No one in the agency knew. So here's how it works within an agency. As like an agent at CAA or an agent at wherever, UTA, you have the ability to improperly pay a player to come to you and nobody would know because you've got money in an account that nobody looks at except the interpreter. So therefore, it can completely go without seen, without being seen. Nope. Doesn't work that way. I've worked with, 20, 30, 40, 50. I've never actually counted the number of agents I've worked with or agencies. There is very little that goes on that the head agent doesn't know about. Now, they claim when there's issues going on in the Dominican, or there's issues with fake names or bad payments or false payments, there are ways that you can separate yourself. But does that mean that anyone in the industry thinks that they don't know what actually went down? Agents, by definition, they're very controlling. Very, very controlling. It would be like me telling you, oh, we traded that guy? I had no idea. They run the baseball side. I don't know about it. Would you believe that? Wait a minute. They have all-you-can-eat seats in Section 201? That's amazing. That wouldn't happen without me knowing it. I'm the president of the team. I have to know it. When you run an agency, you know exactly, oh, we have a new client. How'd that happen? It looks like our petty cash account has gone down by $500,000. And wait a minute, I didn't realize we bought a Lamborghini. Do you get where I'm going with this? It's not the end of the world, is it? Poaching happens all the time. Boris's guy just got poached. Boris does the poaching. Here's how I think it ends. I think it ends with the agency keeping its certification. Bad Bunny will still have an agency. Arroyo will be gone. And there will be a memo that will be sent by the union. Tony Clark, with all of his new power, having taken care of that crazy thing where he may have been gone. And he's going to say, dear, and it's going to be to all agents. And it's going to outline the rules of certification. Yes, it will. And it will be, hey, let's just be on the lookout. We are a team. We have to look out for each other. And then after that happens, he just does a quick end, you know, right before he's going to sign the letter. He's just going to say, and if it happens to you, it's just business. This is nothing personal.